How many of you could name the tune they were just playing, the song? That's good. That's an old one. Bright in the Corner Where You Are. They say that was one of the theme songs of the Billy Sunday campaigns in the old days of the great revivals, when Billy Sunday would go to town and they'd build a wooden tabernacle and be there maybe several weeks in revival, and some tremendous stories following that stuff. Bartenders getting saved, bars getting closed down, cities getting revived, good old days, amen. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 for one verse this morning. Then I'll probably go over to Acts 17 and kind of take a look at the story there where Paul preached on Mars Hill or at Athens. And in Colossians 2, 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy in vain deceit, after the tradition of man or men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I want you to pick up one word through there in particular, philosophy. Philosophy. Now, most of us think we know what it means, and I'm sure we do. Somebody says, well, it means seeking after wisdom, lovers of wisdom. I think probably that's what the dictionary would say. But it's a little more than that. It's people that gather what they consider information, data, facts, whatever they can gather, and they put it together and form an opinion or theory. And so we often say their philosophy of life, or they live by this or by that. That don't mean it's necessarily true. It means it's their opinion. It means it's what they've assumed to be that would be their guideline, what they would go by. And to a degree, that's good. But what we need to understand is there are different philosophies. And somebody wrote a book, Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. So all the different philosophies are not necessarily the one and the same, and not necessarily all right. A philosophy may have some good stuff in it and some bad stuff, some accurate stuff and some wrong stuff. We understand that a little bit. We've seen it taken to its extreme of today, but we forget that philosophies have always been around, and we'll study one in the Bible this morning, or a couple in the Bible this morning. Need to understand that. It amazes me how we can put our kids through a Christian home, even through a Christian school, even in a good church, still send them off to college and find out they didn't have a philosophy to live by. So they wind up with the philosophy somebody else gave them, that are experts at brainwashing and deceiving, and brother, the colleges and universities are filled with that crowd. Yeah. So the next thing you know, our young folks are living by a philosophy that's alien to the Word of God, alien to what they were raised with, and alien to what's truth, real truth. And we see the shipwreck that it brings. It certainly does bring the shipwreck. One of the little statements that I've heard kids, college kids in particular, make, see if I can get this throat to clear up. They'll say, they spout all the long-haired professors in the school tell them. By the way, you say, well, all of them not long-haired, no, but a lot of them want to look like Marx, because that's their real philosophy they're going by to a great degree is Marxism. I've heard kids say, well, because I think I am. In other words, I exist. And they look in the mirror and talk to themselves and say, now I do exist because I think. Well, there's a lot of silly stuff like that goes on. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 17. And we pick up the story here where Paul has been preaching. He's been to Thessalonica. He stirred up the Jews. He's had to run. He winds up in the city of Athens. Now, most of us know Athens deals with Greece. Greece in the news today because they've gone broke. They're a few steps ahead of America, not many. But anyway, in college today, a lot of what our kids are brainwashed with is Greek philosophy. Greek, Roman, old time. They'll teach them a lot about the mythical gods of Rome, but not the true God of America. That's where we're at today. That's based on a philosophy that they've gathered. Now, we find in the book of Acts, Paul's had to run. He's got to Athens. He's waiting on his companions to catch up with him. And as he looks around, he sees the philosophy that's all around him. And he gets right into it. It says in verse 16 of Acts chapter 17, "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to adultery." Now Paul, knowing the truth, had his spirit grieved when he looked around and saw the idolatry. Later on, he's going to tell them they're superstitious. And all the falsehoods came from the false philosophies that they were holding. Verse 17, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews, with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." Paul was also a street preacher there in the market. Then pick it up in verse 18. "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Other some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.'" Now, Paul finds out here, and one of the marks here of this crowd that he's trying to preach to, is they always wanted to hear some new thing. We still got that tribe with us today. It amazes me how folks are quickly conquered by anything new, or they think is new. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun. And if you trace it around back to its beginning, you'll find that. But Paul then stands on Mars Hill, as we call it. He preached to them, and he was a wise man. He saw all their idol worship. He saw all the many gods they worshiped. And he saw their signs and their idols and all that. And he picked out there to get an entrance to them. He picked out where they had a sign up to the unknown God. What they meant by that was, we think we've named all the gods, but in case we've missed one, we don't want him to be offended. So we've got a sign up to the unknown God. Now, that was a philosophy that they were following. And of course, Paul comes in to tell them here that about the true God, and how that he's just not one of the many gods, but he was the God. And he came in to tell them that. Now, we look around at this crowd in Acts chapter 17, and we say, well, they were pretty dumb. No, they were the cutting edge of the elite of their day. They were the high intellectuals of their day. And we're still having the same clash of philosophy today with the same crowd that Paul met here in Acts chapter 17 and on Mars Hill. Now, this was the place of people that you read about in history and that are studied greatly in the colleges, universities, is men like Plato, Socrates. Socrates is supposed to have drank the poison cup. One of the problems they had with Socrates was he was denying some of their paganism. And so they poisoned him, and he's bragged on in college because supposedly he willingly drank the cup. But these philosophies still hang around today. Now, a man is talking to you at this moment that has a philosophy. I have a philosophy. My philosophy is that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. That it is true. That there's one God in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, but one God. That the Lord Jesus Christ was God incarnate in the flesh, that he died for our sins, rose again. All that Paul preached to these Athenians here, I still hold Paul's philosophy. But it is a philosophy in the sense of what the world describes as a philosophy. And we got people living by all kind of philosophies, and some of them very confused and all that, no doubt about it. I've got a philosophy about the Bible. I've got a philosophy about the church. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ started the church. I believe it's going to receive glory till he comes back for it. I believe you ought to be a part of it. I believe the doctrine, the true doctrine, ought to be honored and ought to be taught. I believe the methods in the church ought to be right. That's why I'm not for rock and rat music.
Amen.
You said
Amen.
Rock and what? I said rat. You thought I said rat. Not much difference.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's why I still take the stand on the philosophy that I hold. Now, the wrong philosophy is dangerous. If you don't think it is, our trouble in the world today comes from a philosophy that's helped by Muslims. The philosophy of Islam, cutting people's heads off, killing people, and all that's going on today, and all the bad stuff. They're acting on a philosophy. What is their philosophy? Their philosophy is they've got to do that to get to heaven. If they're going to have the 72 virgins and all the fun they're expecting in heaven, they've got to kill some of God's enemies on the way. To be a martyr in Islam is your only guarantee of getting to heaven if you kill some of God's enemies. That's a philosophy. That's what they're living by. That's what they are holding to. That's just one example. There's other many, many bad examples, of course. Now, Paul is in Satan's seedbed right here in Athens. I mean, Satan is of limited genius. He doesn't have one thing today he wasn't using in the Bible. He's still using it. Why is he still using it? It still works. It still gets the job done for his side, the way he's wanting to do things. Now, Paul here encountered two groups. Look at it in verse 18 of Acts 17. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. Now, there's two groups. Now, the word Epicurean here was named from a man, and that man's philosophy. That man was Epicurus. That was the Greek one that they looked back to. And his philosophy was this. Let's see if you recognize it. His philosophy was that man came from animals and was just an animal. Therefore, as an animal will live it up, eat all he can, take all he can, all for self, then Epicurus said that's what man was. Well, if you look around, you see a lot of folks are practicing that.
Yeah.
You see, an animal will propagate its species. That's the adultery, the fornication that you see the human race in today. Just the natural lust to be satisfied. The appetites, the fleshly appetites. And so that's what Epicurus taught. Philosophy, the world still holds it. Eat and drink, live it up, for tomorrow we die. Grab for all the gusto you can. Isn't that a slogan you've seen on a bumper sticker or on your TV? Only one life. Use it up right now. Get the best out of it. Take all you can. That animal philosophy is take, not give. And Epicurus had that philosophy. Party it up, have all the fun. The weekends are the time for pleasure. And so what you have happening is everybody wishes their life away till Friday gets here. They get their paycheck. They go buy and stop, play a few lotto tickets, and they grab all the beer and all. They might have an outside barbecue. They got something fun planned. But what is it? It's all self. It's all me. It's all I, if it feels good, do it. That's the philosophy. That's Epicurus. That was his philosophy. Just an animal anyway. I've heard it said before, never buy an automobile that was worked on Monday. Because after a drunk weekend, you're liable to find beer bottles in the door and wonder why the door's rattling. Or the bolts aren't tied or something else is out of place. I've always heard that. Be careful. Well, how you going to know? I don't know. They say the number maybe on the windshield may tell you. I don't know. But because the animals took over for the weekend, they got so drunk, they got a hangover, so when they come to work, they're not going to do a quality job. And they're going by philosophy, Epicurus philosophy. Now, that's pictured for us all the time on TV. It's sad, folks, but a lot of our young folks and some not so young sit in the living room, and when you're watching a program, if you're not careful, here's what philosophy will get a hold of you. The philosophy will say, there's the hero. I'd love to be a hero like that. Understand what I'm saying? in your mind, you're substituting for that guy. I'd do it that way too. Is that right? Well, that's all of the flesh. All of grab all the gusto you can. All of if it feels good, do it. That's the philosophy. And sadly, you got to be careful about that stuff. The stuff we even laugh at on TV that's off color, and most all your set-ins are, we even got folks now turning in. I mean, people that if I ask them point blank, are you for gay marriage? Are you for the homosexual movement? Oh, no. But we sit and laugh at that junk on TV when it's promoted, and it is being promoted. Everything has a message behind it. Everything has a philosophy behind it. And so you have to watch out for that stuff. And so that's the spirit of Epicurus, or the ones here. It said the Epicureans, all right, it was a sect, it was a group. People that followed Epicurus, and they were saying we're just from animals, and we're the top of the pecking order, and we're the top of the food chain. But let's live it up. That's what Hollywood says.
Yeah.
That's their whole message.
Yeah.
And even in much of the sports of the world, same thing. But there's a second philosophy here. See it in the same verse. It's the word Stoics. You see, the Epicureans and of the Stoics, now both groups, they encountered Paul in the marketplace and wherever. Now the Stoics came from Zeno, Z-E-N-O. He was a philosopher around the 4th century B.C., about 400 years before Christ. That stuff got started. But his philosophy was the opposite of the Epicureans. Opposite in this way. He believed in human perfection through personal effort. Let me see if you recognize this now. You ever hear anybody saying, every day, let me see how that goes, each and every day, better in every way. We're growing, we're disciplining ourselves, we're picking ourselves up by our bootstraps. Do you know what? If I had to have a neighbor that was an Epicurean or a Stoic, I'd rather have the Stoic. The Stoic's the one that'll show some human character. He'll pay his bills. He'll probably cut his grass when he ought to, paint his house when he ought to. He's probably one you could trust a little more because he's very self-disciplined. He's probably one that can go on a diet and stay on it. He's probably one that can just eat just one. Most of us can't. He is very self-disciplined. He is very much under control. So yeah, we'd rather have him as a neighbor. He's got high esteem about himself. Boy, they teach that in school, but don't seem to be catching on, does it? He believed in pantheism. Pantheism, the word pan means universal, and basically that everything's a god. There's a god in the tree. There's a god in the stone. There's a god in the dog. There's a god in the... Oh, listen, there's a god in the rats. Do you know there's a temple in India, Brother Tom? I don't know if you've been there or not. There's a temple over there that worship the rats. I mean, they are so thick that when you walk in, and by the way, they make you walk in barefooted, so you can't step on one with your shoe accidentally. And you go into that temple and rats are like wall-to-wall carpet. And you go in there to make an offering, you bring in a little bowl of milk, or whatever you think they'll eat. Scrawny, dirty, filthy looking rats just thriving. And you can't panic if they crawl on your feet. You got to be careful of the rats. That's maybe your ancestors, their gods. It's crazy, crazy kind of stuff. But that's the philosophy. See, they go by that. I mean, I'm talking about a beautiful building, tile-like floors, stone floors, and wall-to-wall rats. I've seen pictures of it, moving pictures of it. I've seen a man walk in there barefooted, and he had the shivers. I wouldn't have went in there. No. I don't know. I sure wouldn't have. But anyway, pantheism. There's a god in those rats. There's a God in everything. So the Stoics here believed there was a divine spirit in all matter. But self-control was their God. They believed that man could reach and achieve the highest wisdom, and they believed in a collective state in this sense. The Stoics looked upon the Epicureans as ignorant but useful fools. Now here's what I mean. The Stoics, with their self-control, would let the Epicureans go out there and think they were living it up, which they were, but not recognizing that the Stoics was up on a higher level and basically benefiting from the labor, if you please, the foolishness of the Epicureans. Now, I admire their self-control, but let me tell you something. You don't get right with God. You don't get your sins forgiven. You don't go to heaven because you have great self-control. You don't go to heaven because you have good character that your neighbors would admire. But that's the teaching of this bad philosophy. It all started in man. It stayed in man. And man is the master of his own destiny. That's the philosophy that so many are still living by right now. Right now. You know the hardest person to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ into a saving knowledge of salvation, forgiveness of sin, is not the Epicurean, but the Stoic. Because he is so satisfied with himself. He is so proud of what he has achieved. And so he's the harder one to reach with the real truth. Now, you got all kind of historical examples. What happens with the Stoics is they wind up leading what we call a collective state, or the state knows best. Now, where are we at today? We're right now in America, where we are being taught by everything, every means of media, we're being taught basically that the state knows best. That's right where we're at. And guess what? The Epicureans say, leave me alone, I'm having fun. I'm living it up. I've got my sports, I got my TV, I got my beer, I got my airboat, I got all this wonderful stuff I'm enjoying. Don't mess with my philosophy. They never even look high enough up to say, there's some Stoics up there, more self-disciplined than I, that's really pulling the strings I'm having to live by. They don't look and see that. Talking to you about philosophy this morning, but I'm talking to you out of the Bible because we're still dealing with it today. State knows best. That's why it's best to kill the babies. That's why it's best to let the homosexuals have their way. And by the way, let me say this. I'm going to probably say it over and over. They keep coming out with polls saying that, like the president has evolved, America has evolved. And we have evolved to the place now that it's 50-50 over the thing of gay marriage. That's a lie. That's a poll, that's a lie. It's the way you ask the question when the poll is taken. Here's the truth. The truth is, in asking it in a certain way, there's a Epicurean crowd out there that says, just live and let live. They're not saying we're for it, they're just saying we're not upset about it. They're not saying I'm dead against it and I'll stop it if I can. No, they're just saying don't bother me with it. Epicurean says, I want another beer. I want another night out. That's not going to affect anything I want to do. So that's the crowd that gives the poll the numbers that they go by right there. It's a bad philosophy. Yeah. But anyway, the state says we know best. Therefore, the state tells us that we need to have state-controlled health care, and if you don't have it, you get fined because the state knows best. So the Stoics, if you really want to look for them, you look for them on the high shelf, on the top shelf, the ones that's pulling the strings and ruling the country. I've heard it. I've been in a few places. I've read some of their books that the public's not supposed to read. And that crowd, represented here by the Stoics, That very crowd is simply saying that anybody that disagrees with their philosophy, they put them in a peg hole, they put them on a shelf somewhere, and they put them down here or there. Now you and I, we're the oddballs, because we don't fit either one of these philosophies. See? So we're the troublemakers. The Stoics got no problem with the Epicureans. They're pulling the strings on them anyway. The Epicureans have no problem with the Stoics because the Stoics don't seem to be bothering them, as long as they have their fun. I'm talking to you about some philosophies this morning that men live by. Now, historical examples exist, not just in the Bible. Rome, for instance, is one of the better examples. Now, many of the Roman emperors were very cruel, but almost all of them were Epicurean, in the sense that if it feels good, do it. Gather all the creature comforts I can, rule and have all the power I can, deny nothing. That was Epicurean philosophy. Once in a while, an emperor showed up in Rome that had a little bit different philosophy. There was a Roman emperor, if I say his name right and remember it right. Marcus Aurelius. I probably missed that last part. Marcus Aurelius, I believe is the way it was. He ruled after Christ, probably 160, 70 years after Christ on Rome. He was liked. He was called a good emperor. He was called a good emperor because he was stoic. He was self-disciplined. He showed the character that would come from that, and he actually made the government better. If you'd have been living there, the taxes would have been better. The streets would have been cleaner. Things would have been more organized. He was a good ruler. So the Epicurean crowd had no problem with him. He was a Stoic, and under his rule, things were going good. But he had one thing he hated. He hated Christians. He hated Christians because they didn't bow to his philosophy. And he persecuted them greater than some of the emperors that's known in history for throwing the Christians to the lions and so forth. He hated them because of their philosophy. They did not go along with his. And Paul's preaching here in verse 18. What did he preach? It says here that he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Paul preached there is another life. Paul preached there is one God. Paul preached that Christ is the Savior. Paul preached there was sin and that Jesus, God incarnate, paid for our sins. And then he preached the resurrection, that he rose from the dead. This flew into the face of both these groups of philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics. But the Stoics hated the message worse than the Epicureans did. That's why this Roman emperor hated Christianity so bad. Now, the third philosophy is the Christian philosophy. That's what Paul is preaching. That's the basics of the gospel. That philosophy is that it's personal salvation, not collective salvation. The Stoics preach that just be self-disciplined and all the good things are going to come, and you're a good person. And if there is something out there after death, you'll be all right because you've earned it. You've lived for it. You've earned it. And Christianity was hated by the first two. I had a fellow say to me one time, this is the first philosophy, Epicurean philosophy. He said, "Preacher, I hate everything you stand for." Well, he's telling the truth. You know what he meant? He meant in his mind, "Preacher, you against me drinking. Preacher, you against me adultering, fornicating. Preacher, you against me cussing. Preacher, you against all the lifestyle that I'm getting joy out of. So I'm against everything you preach." And I was a little unkind, I reckon. I told him, I said, "One minute after death, you'll change your mind." And deep down in his heart, he knows that, but he didn't want to admit it. He saw me as upsetting his fun cart, his pleasure, So he hated everything I stood for. I actually sat in the living room one time in front of a man's wife, the man sitting there, and I had one of my bus captains with me. And I started trying to tell him how to be saved, and he spoke up plainly. He said, but if I got saved, he said, I'd have to give up my girlfriend, wouldn't I? In front of his wife. Kind of took me back a little bit. And I thought at first he might be joking. He was not joking. And I told him, yes, if you really got saved, the Holy Spirit inside of you would not let you have any peace if you're living in adultery. Then he ordered me out of the house. We got up and left. Really, that happened. He got mad. Wife never said a word. Sitting right there in front of it, admitted he had a girlfriend, and if it was gonna cost him his girlfriend to get saved, just get out of here. Epicurus. Epicurean philosophy, see. And so Christianity is hated by the philosophy of this world, because the philosophy of this world will fit one of those two groups. Every time, it'll fit in one of those two groups. Wish I had time to tell you. Here's why the Stoics get so offended. The Stoics get offended at what I preach and what the Bible teaches, because it's a put down on them. For me to get up here and preach that all have sinned, oh no, not me. Maybe the Epicurean guy over here, but not me. I'm a good guy. I'm self-disciplined. I'm under control. Don't preach I'm a sinner. But you must repent. No, you can't tell me to repent, because to repent means my lifestyle I'm living now is not good. So I will not hear that. See, that's that's it. That's exactly it. Some of you heard me tell this story before. I had a college professor come to see me. At the time, he was a little older than me. In fact, I was still in the old building over there. He came to see me with a girl, half his age, not 30's age, that he wanted to marry. And I checked his salvation out. First thing I asked him pretty quick after we started talking was whether he was saved. And he got so insulted that I would ask him, a college professor, Mr. So-and-so, if he was saved, like I'd ask somebody in the back alley. He was insulted over that, and he pitched a tantrum right in front of me. You wouldn't believe it. I advised the girl not to marry him. She did, and she married a little hell on earth, and I later on found out the results of it. But you see, in early America, we rejected both these two philosophies in the book of Acts. In early America, we defeated King George in 1776. And said our rights come from God, they don't come from the state.
Amen.
And that's what the revolution was about. So taxation without representation, yeah, I understand, I read that in the history book too. But it was more than that. They taxed everything, and they said, give it all to the state, and we'll give you back enough to keep you alive. I may preach on something like that tonight. I'm kicking around my head a little bit. In fact, I thought of a title I might use tonight. Let's see what I'm going to say. The Return of the Zombies. Do you like that title? The Return of the Zombies. I think I'd put something together on that. Maybe we'll see. That promises more than it is, I'll guarantee you. But anyway, most titles do. But anyway, the truth is, our early Americans rejected both these philosophies. We believed in hard work. We believed in earning your way. But we believed that you couldn't earn your way to heaven. So we brought God into it. And God's in all of our documents. He's in all of our history. And America was great because of that. What we're seeing today is a switch now from what we were founded on. And we moved under this philosophy. We've been spoiled through the philosophy and vain deceit that's being pushed on us today. And no doubt about it. Now, both philosophers don't like us. One says, don't bother my lifestyle. My fleshly indulgence is what I want to keep doing. The other one, the Stoic, says, you're insulting my goodness by telling me that I'm not good enough to go to heaven, that I need a Savior. Well, don't insult me like that. I am good on my own. I'm self-disciplined on my own. So the first one, the Epicurean, has no peace, though, because he has no lasting satisfaction. He grabs for all the gusto he can, and it still leaves him unsatisfied. And then the Stoic, he comes along, and he has no peace because he never is sure how good he's got to be to make it. So both philosophies are of the devil. And every man lives by philosophy. But I'm going to live by the philosophy of the Bible and the Lord Jesus. And that's the answer. Amen. All right, time is up.